This is Pure Decking, show number 518 for Thursday, May the 4th. I'm not doing the joke. You know what? May the 4th, 2023. There you go. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like obviously not drinking enough alcohol, information security rigging the game, and just as a reminder, the computer always lies. I'm Morps. I quickly ran downstairs because climate change stole my beer. I had to get some more dragon's milk. And we have an RU. What's up, RU?
So much, man. Running a hustle and bustling today. Busy day.
And
all my schedule's thrown off.
Oh, yeah. And we have a madman.
Hello. May the 4th be with you.
Damn it.
Oh, piss off. Fifth.
I'm just trying not to do that joke. It's like everybody in the world's doing Star Wars right now, including the deepfake shit. And unfortunately, of that franchise, only about 2.5 of the movies were any good. So
we've got Empire on right now.
Well, that would be one of the ones on my list that's actually pretty good.
Oh, that in the theater. That dates me.
That Rogue One was good.
Shut up, madman.
Well, Rogue One was alright, but any of the direct sequels are, you gotta be some kind of a monster to even understand what the fuck was going on in those.
Hey, the single fact that the guy who played Jar Jar Binks is still on suicide watch today should tell you enough about those movies.
Is he really?
He was a perfectly... Yeah, he was on suicide watch for ages.
Just because how many people hated him?
Yeah, yeah. No one even knew what he looked like, but that's the internet for you, dude. They will find out, and they will come for you if you ruin their childhood.
Never forgive, never forget. Klingons or 4chan, we're not sure which, but...
Oh, come on, he was the greatest Sith Lord ever. No one ever told him that he was a Sith Lord.
The problem is, this is Jar Jar's big pawn.
Wouldn't be surprised. It was Babad Uncut. I mean, so, like porn of anything.
Yeah, pretty much. If they don't make it, ChatGTP will make it for you.
Well, that's probably more true than anyone wants to admit.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of ChatGPT and other chatbots being used for things they shouldn't, I guess we could do the first story here. Because, again, it's an AI story because it's all there is to talk about these days. Nothing else is happening, just the AI. It's not going to be the singularity. No, it's going to be more like just outsourcing.
Didn't some major city get hit with ransomware this week?
There's several ransomware attacks. I didn't see one about a particular city, though.
Yeah, Dallas. I sent you a story. Dallas City was attacked. A police dispatch system was held for ransom.
I saw one. I don't know if they paid it or not. Hit where they got into the messaging system for the college that's supposed to be used for like weather emergencies and shit. You know, the thing where it says, you know, you're supposed to get a text message that says a tornado coming, take cover. Yeah, the ransomware guys got into it and sent out to all the students to tell them to tell the faculty to pay the ransom because they had all the students' data.
Nice. And being university students of sound mind and rational, they would have ignored it, right? Not held a big demonstration and screamed and yelled and cried.
I think they changed their icons on Twitter again or something. But this article is from 9to5 Mac. And is just... Well, are you... It's terrifying and you'll you'll immediately enjoy it. Therapy apps are proving increasingly popular as people seek help with their mental health. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
This is going along the lines of when there's a big con on YouTube for a while where you could have an online therapist. Forget the company that started that.
BetterHelp.
BetterHelp, yeah, it'll go just as well as BetterHelp. And if anyone knows the background of BetterHelp, you'll know what I'm talking about.
I actually am less familiar with that one. The last big YouTube one I heard about was the one selling fake Irish titles or whatever it was, or Scottish titles.
Yeah, that didn't fuck with your head as much as the BetterHelp people.
Yeah.
Because they didn't hire the best and brightest for the BetterHelp stuff.
No, I imagine not. I imagine they're essentially the same as a tech support guy. Somebody sitting there reading a script.
I'm feeling suicidal. Yeah, you should do a flip. No, seriously, do a flip. Film it. That's how some of the calls were handled, from what I understand.
Do it, you coward. You don't got the balls.
you could have worked for BetterHelp. Whoops. That attitude, you could have worked for them.
Yeah, except I was that was an application for the suicide hotline, not better.
You read the story while I get rid of this coffee cup.
Okay. Therapy apps are proving increasingly popular as people seek help with their mental health without the inconvenience and high cost of in-person counseling. But for the second year running, researchers have found that the majority of them are failing to meet expected privacy standards. Of 32 mental health apps studied, some 19 of them were labeled as privacy not included, with the researchers stating they were shocked at how bad they are. Mozilla, the nonprofit behind the Firefox browser, has a team that specifically focuses on investigating app privacy. The team reads the privacy policies to see whether appropriate safeguards are offered, and then checks the company's track record on data breaches and the like. The apps are selected according to their popularity in the U.S. and Europe and are given a privacy not included label if they fail on two or more criteria. Quote, we assign our privacy not included warning label to products we have determined that have the most problems when it comes to protecting users' privacy and security. A product will earn the privacy not included warning label if it receives two or more warning from the following criteria. How the company uses the data it collects on its users. We ding companies for selling selling users' data or collecting more data than is necessary for general business purposes, for example, buying data from data brokers. How users can control their data. We ding a company if they don't have a clear and manageable way for users to delete their data from the company or explain how long they retain users' data. What is known about the company's track record of protecting users' data. We ding a company if they have a bad track record of not protecting users' data based on known and reported security breaches, leaks, or vulnerabilities. Finally, we ding a company if we cannot confirm if the product meets our minimum security standards. In the rare exceptions, we might ding a company if they only receive one warning from us if we determine that warning is particularly concerning for consumers. Additionally, the team looks at permissions requested by an app. Unquote. It says there may be a perfectly valid reason for an app to request access to things like location, camera, and microphone, but it'll flag requests that don't appear necessary for the app's features. Only two therapy apps got the all clear, PTSD Coach from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. That's probably the only one on this list that would probably even be trying to get it right. and Wysa AI chatbot from Touchkin. 11 more had one privacy concern, which varied by app. Finch, Wobot, MoodFit, Bearable, Youper. I don't really want to read the rest of these. The remaining 19 therapy apps were considered fails with dings against them in two more categories. All of them are on there, including Replica. The worst was Replica, which failed every single category. Data use, control. That's the same one people were talking about their AI girlfriends on, by the way. So not only is this company, having people fall in love with its AIs and then denying them the enjoyment of it, because we did that story a few weeks back where they were trying to censor the chatbots because people were using them for porn. And, also, they sell all your data to data brokers. So,
and once you get emotionally invested in the chat bot that you should not be emotionally invested in, they have a therapy program to help you fix your problem.
And everything you type into that thing, every single damn thing is getting mined for marketing information and sold off to data brokers. So,
mentioned sent to every government agency.
Well, yeah. Yeah, every single category Replica failed on. Data use, control, track record, security, privacy, policy settings. National Institute of Mental Health has a list of resources for those with mental health concerns, either about your friends or family. And, of course, it starts with 911 if you know if somebody's in immediate danger, or the suicide prevention hotline if somebody's actually going to do it. They've got a list of some others on there. But, Yeah, I didn't even really realize this was a thing. I knew about Replica because we had talked about it. I didn't realize there were all of these AI chatbot apps that were trying to be a therapist. And, I mean, I'm wondering how many of these are even actually like a chatbot and how many of them aren't just a call tree.
Harvesters.
Yeah.
And just Harvesters, dude.
Yeah, because it probably mind asks you all kinds of probing personal questions to determine, you
yeah,
know,
they're mind harvesters.
Saying.
I want to coin a term now, mind harvesters.
I could see that, yeah.
One of the big things, too, if it does catch on, the big issue with the therapist-client relationship is you can't have dependency. You've got to discourage that dependency because you don't want to have that person in your life fucking 24 hours a day. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure.
But if you've got a chatbot that's easily accessible 24 hours a day, you're soon going to build a weak mind's dependency on that machine.
It goes from being a therapist to being a crutch.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of the big no-nos when it comes to therapies and behavioral-related. I'm trying to pick the right words so I don't sound like a monster.
Sound like a monster, are you? We all know.
Well, you're not going to a therapist if your behavior is healthy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Either you've recognized just that something is wrong and you need help, Your Honor.
Or the state has stepped in to say, hey, and who knows how the data is being manipulated, but who knows how the mind is being manipulated either with that harvester just eating you up data point by data point.
Well, how are these... Okay, let me ask this. I realize it's kind of an American-centric question, but I know there's equivalent laws in many countries. Wouldn't... If it's truly a therapy app, wouldn't it be subject to HIPAA? I mean, or any, equivalent medical privacy regulation?
I think we blew past those regulations a few years ago under COVID.
Probably, but I'm just saying, theoretically, shouldn't they? I mean, if you figure out these guys are, selling your data, I guess you could sue them for a HIPAA violation.
Yeah, I think COVID blew all the doctor-patient privacy things out the fucking window.
Yeah.
See, they harvested so much DNA of people.
I'm thinking there'll just be another challenge to the checkbox he agreed to it form. Because they're going to have it in there. You're okaying us to release this to what we... the necessary individuals. Although... Another issue, at least with this program, with a good therapist, their goal is for you to cease being a patient eventually.
Well, that's what I was saying.
And the goal of a chatbot or every programmed anything I've seen on the internet is how long can we keep you engaged?
Especially if we're putting ads in it. We're charging.
Yeah, you see what I mean about an unhealthy person building a dependence.
Oh, yeah.
And how long before? Well, I killed them because the bot told me to. They were the toxic poison in my life. I had to get rid of it.
Well, we already did a story a few weeks back about a guy who killed himself because the chatbot told him to.
Yeah, I want to call bullshit on that, but...
Well, especially because they said it was for climate change, but...
Yeah, I want to call bullshit on that, and I'm also calling bullshit on the mother that said the hackers had used a voice chat program to convince her that they had her daughter. That's bullshit too.
Well, when you've fallen for a scam, you probably look for anything to make it light out so you don't feel like an idiot.
That's where I was leaning towards.
Because, well, I mean, you know, and people have been doing that scam for years, even without needing a voice thing. You know, my grandmother, when she was alive, some people pulled my dad's information off Facebook, and they called my grandmother and basically came up with this cock and bull story about my dad being stuck in England and needing money to get back home.
Remember you telling me this.
And, I mean, she was upset. They really upset her because they were like, yeah, he's going to jail. He's never going to see anybody again because, you know, he's got to pay this fine and you're the only contact we have for him. And, of course, she was trying to, you know, why isn't my mom helping him? Why is he even over there? He wasn't supposed to be over there. And, you know, just they really upset her because they were trying to trick her into sending them money. So they were getting her more and more riled up and upset. But she got so upset that she hung up on the scammers and called my mom to try to find out what was going on.
Good for her, man.
And, you know, my mom tried to calm her down, couldn't do it. My dad, finally, dad had to call her and explain that he was fine and that, you know, he didn't know what it was. And, you know, finally somebody asked me and I said, it's a scam. They were going to trick her into sending money.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, my grandmother, that grandmother did not have much to send. So, if they had tricked her into sending anything significant, it would have been quite tragic.
Would have been painful. Yeah, would have been painful.
It would have most likely meant that she would have lost her house, and she probably would have lost a lot of things, and would have had to. I mean, it would have been bad. So
just a quick back to the story then. Are they rolling these things out or did they fail?
No, the chatbots, they're out.
The therapy chatbots are out there.
What 9to5 Mac has done is they took an article they took Mozilla's, you know, because Mozilla rates privacy of apps, and Mozilla checked them and most of them were failing on one or two points, and apparently the Mozilla team said Replica was just an absolute nightmare when it comes to your data privacy. And, you know, that's bad, but again, if people are treating these things like a therapist, you know, as a substitute for therapy, I mean, having these things, you know, imagine what all these people are saying to these AI chatbots that's just getting turned around and sold to a marketer. I mean, never minding the HIPAA laws and stuff like that, it's just kind of sick, you know, to take somebody who might be really looking for help with a real issue and turning around to try to, you know, sell them dong pills or whatever the fuck because they said something to a chatbot, you know?
Well, it's not just marketing. A huge problem with social anxiety or stress, anxiety, everything right now in the U.S. and much of the first world is a lack of human connection. So now you have someone who recognizes there's a problem. Instead of reaching out to a human being, or they're going to, you know, get a connection and possibly direct it to, here's your issue. You spend 13 hours of your day on a computer at work, and then you get off work, and instead of dealing with people, you hop on a computer, go out and talk to people.
Would you quit describing my life, madman?
Get actual friends in the big blue room.
Well, you're going to love it when they start rolling out the brainwave recognition.
Oh, I know.
It's started in China. Kids sitting with halos in classroom, fucking monitoring their brainwaves for stimulation.
Your thoughts were not congruent with what the party wants you to be thinking. Here's a zap.
I can't wait till they try and roll it out here. See what parents have to say. If they think the tranny thing's bad enough in schools, wait for this shit.
Well, combine that with
Billy
the
had a
combine it with the malware threat, and you have kids getting zapped for just anything.
Well, you combine that with the was it predictive modeling software? You've got say what 18 years? What is it? 12 years of schoolings. You've got a base way of brain level. Throw that in the predictive stuff, and hey, Billy's got to go to prison for a couple of years because he's possibly going to be a rapist in the future. You know what I mean? We're going to have predictive crime. We already have predictive crime models now, but worse.
What's it called? The prison pipeline system?
Yeah, I think California's got one of the biggest, the best pre-crime setups. They know exactly when and where on a street something's going to happen.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's only just beginning.
And yet they still haven't stopped a single mass looting or murder or rape or mugging or...
But, Madman, they do have a very good 4K high-definition video of your mugging.
I'm thinking you're thinking of London.
pretty bad, too.
No, I'm pretty sure LA has the monitoring drones, like the military-style ones.
Why don't they just go for broke and do the Batman Gotham-style blimps?
Oh, you wait, dude. There's going to be an uptick in cults in the next couple of years.
Oh, people worshiping the fucking AIs?
No, not AI, but worshiping people who... like your David Koresh's and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
Going to be a massive uptick in cults. Well, you see how many people are being driven out of their families or mad with, you know, retarded ideas and shit. People, as Madman says, looking for connection with anything. This is a prime time. If you want to start a cult, there are a lot of very disconnected young people out there.
So, I hope that one doesn't have a video, does it? No, good, okay. I was just loading up the next, I've got a pair of stories kind of following up on something we talked about, but I just, my God, I'm just still at the whole going to a chatbot for fucking therapy. I mean, that's just.
I mean, halos on children in school, man, that's where I'm starting to go fuck off. Yeah, that's too far. Because next thing they're going to want, well, for your car registration and stuff, we're going to know you're in a good mind spot. So we're just going to have to monitor your brain waves. Because certain vehicles already have the eye detection software that will shut your car down if they think you're sleepy.
I've gotten that warning a couple of times, you know, on my car. Or it comes up and says, rest recommended or whatever the fuck. And I'm sitting there wondering, what triggers that? Because I've checked.
It's watching your eyes.
I can't find a camera in there that's pointed at my face.
It's watching your eyes, dude. There's
dude. Part of me wants to drive your car just to fuck with it.
I mean, it's worth... I want to do some experimenting with it to figure out what triggers it. Because...
we'll see if you can block it.
With that.
Wear sunglasses.
Oh, mirrored. I usually wear sunglasses when I drive.
Wear mirrored... on the outside, though, that'll defeat it.
I kind of wonder about the old gag of having the eyes painted on the inside of your glasses to make it look like you're not asleep.
I mean, fuck with it. It's your car, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just make sure you document that you are fucking with it with like a couple of photos and stuff. That way, if your insurance company does find out and tries to fuck with you, you go, no, I was just fucking with the car. Like, it was an experiment.
You know, just make sure you film it and say, I'm going to post it to
YouTube. I'm a YouTuber. Yeah, I'm a YouTuber. It's for science, man. You wouldn't hate science, would you?
Just use that as the excuse for everything. It's for science. You don't hate science, dude. I love it. So, anyways, I guess we'll move on here. So several weeks ago, and of course, Madman and I went round and round about this. Utah did a law basically requiring age verification to visit porn sites, and that they were supposed to be blocked if you know, they didn't have it. They were putting the onus on the website. And Madman and I went back and forth on whether the website had the right to say, well, I don't want to do business in that state. I'm just going to block that state. And Madman, I believe your argument was, well, because VPNs exist and you know they exist, you still have to comply with Utah's laws. So I'm not misremembering that, am I?
I mean, it's just going to be terrible when Utah finds out there's more than one porn fucking site out there.
Well, I've got two stories here that are kind of funny about it. So, Madman, you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. I'm muted to snip.
Ah, gotcha. Okay, now I didn't misrepresent your argument whenever that was, right?
Not exactly. Now it was pretty close.
Okay, just trying to be fair. So the first one's from Tech Radar Pro. Porn VPN searches soar in Utah image age verification bill. I mean, we called this shit, but of course they did. Porn fans, there's the big foam finger and everything, right? Porn fans living in Utah. Who comes up with that? Porn fans. I mean, who decided that was what you wanted to refer to these people as?
I mean,
it's accurate.
Go team, yay.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, what have you got? If you got jerseys of your favorite performers?
I'm going with genres, actually.
Oh, genres.
That way you can really avoid the weirdos.
I want to sell merchandise now.
Nobody wants to be near the cock holding guys.
Well, you know, you think about it. You know, think about how many of your favorite superheroes could be reinterpreted in interesting ways. I mean, is Batman just running around in his fursona?
Oops, do not give them ideas. You know they'll run with this. Maybe some father wearing his fucking daughter's image and her OnlyFans fucking site.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, there's a Facebook post for the ages. Check out my girl's OnlyFans. What happened to back in the day if you saw a girl's tits, her dad would threaten to shoot you? I
mean, Merry Christmas, y'all. Remember to go check Billy Sue's fucking OnlyFans.
There's a Christmas card. God. Okay. Stop clowning on the name. Get back to the story. Porn fans living in Utah. I'm too excited reading that. Porn fans living in Utah, United States, seem to be turning to VPN services as a means to circumvent Pornhub restrictions. The block comes into force on May 1st as an act of protest ahead of a state bill that will require all porn websites to enforce an age verification system. Google searches for virtual private networks have been skyrocketing since, with a peak registered on May the 3rd, the day the new law came into force. Quote, Utah's age verification laws shows a worrying trend to further restrict digital freedoms and disregard data privacy across the U.S., unquote, said a spokesperson of a secure VPN provider private internet access. Utah is indeed the last U.S. state to have introduced mandatory age verification to U.S. state to have introduced mandatory age verification to access porn websites. Similar announcements were also previously released by authorities in Louisiana and Arkansas. Albeit realizing the importance of preventing minors from accessing inappropriate content online, PIA believes that collecting IDs for age verification purposes also presents unacceptable privacy risks. The introduction of an online age verification in yet another state means that for those wanting to access adult entertainment, a huge amount of personal, sensitive data will now be collected, data that could be improperly used, accessed, or leaked, unquote. At the same time, such laws often turn out to be ineffective, too. By downloading a VPN service, pornography fans will be able to keep accessing Pornhub and similar sites with ease. That's because a virtual private network is security software able to spoof a user's IP address. That is not how that works. Digital location and device identifier. I've got to stop right there. because whoever wrote this, you know, slammed some words together without really understanding them. A virtual private network is not spoofing an IP address. Spoofing an IP address is rewriting the packet header to make it look like the packet came from a different source IP address. Virtual private networks do rewrite the packet header, but that's because they are forwarding the packets from the user out of whatever server is actually dumping it on the internet. So I would establish a connection from my computer to my VPN service provider. My VPN service provider would then route the data, route my packet out through a server in, I don't know, Canada. Pick some place, right? It's arbitrary. It doesn't matter where. You know, just whatever location I'm saying I want to be coming from. And because that's the server that I want the website that I've tried to connect to send its data back to so that it can reroute it through the tunnel back to me, it does rewrite the packet header, but it's a real IP. When you spoof an IP address, that's usually because you don't want to reveal your real IP and you want the return traffic to go somewhere else. So an old tactic used to be to send out a whole bunch of DNS requests, for example, and not just a single lookup, but like a full tree lookup, where you're going to be sending kilobytes of data from a, you know, single packet request kind of thing, and spoof the source IP to be the IP of the machine you're trying to DDoS, so that you can have a handful of machines sending out these requests to hundreds of DNS servers, causing DNS servers across the internet to DDoS whatever the target is by spoofing an IP address. I have way over-explained that, haven't I?
No, you're good.
Cool. Hence a surge of interest in VPNs across Utah, as people will simply need to connect to a server located in a U.S. state or foreign country where the restriction isn't yet enforced. Quote, private internet access is a longtime advocate of greater digital privacy, and we urge lawmakers to consider other ways of protecting children online, including education, guidance from parents, and open conversations about safe internet usage, rather than relying on increasingly intrusive digital regulations which disregard people's privacy and online freedom, unquote. So, yeah, obviously the Google Trends show that people who live in, you know, Utah and other places are going mad trying to find VPNs because the state is enforcing these age restrictions and trying to get porn sites to verify people. And I agree, I don't like the idea of the porn sites having to collect up people's IDs. I think, you know, Madman and you and I went round and round about that several weeks ago, so I don't know that we need to rehash that argument. Thoughts?
I have nothing on that one.
All right. I mean, kind of a call to it, but yeah.
Yeah.
They're going with a credible IP. Or a credible VPN, they're paying for it.
That's true.
But it's also kind of a strange way of verifying age. Look, here's my checking account info.
There are VPNs that you can pay for, like with Bitcoin, that don't verify IP. Cycros was telling us about one time, I think. And I think we had somebody else telling us about one in the IRC. But there are VPNs out there that don't require traditional currency, that, you know, work with like a Bitcoin or whatever. There are also, these are a terrible idea, but there are also tons of quote unquote free VPN services out there. You know, apps on your phone, several browsers claim that, you know, like you'll see these respins where somebody's taking Chrome and packed a bunch of add-ons into it and say, oh, it includes a free VPN. I think Opera was doing that for a while.
There was a web page I was using for a while that was a free...
Yeah, what was it? HideMyAss.com used to be the popular one.
Well, I think it was like Front Page of the Internet or something like that.
Yeah, Front Page used to do it.
Does DuckDuckGo do it?
I think they used to offer it. I don't know if they still do.
Yeah, I don't know if they do. I always get better search results with DuckDuckGo, though.
That's true. Yeah, you learn to start checking multiple search engines these days. Let's see.
I don't see anything on the landing page for it.
No, I think I see several VPNs that claim that they want to partner with DuckDuckGo, but I don't see. Yeah. Does Startpage still do the VPN?
I haven't been there in ages.
It says they don't do tracking, but the thing is, some of these will have, you know, some of these, like Startpage used to have a pretty good reputation. Hide My Ass used to have pretty good reputation. I know Hide My Ass got bought. I don't know with Startpage. I haven't followed them in a while. But
Startpage claim private engine searches, no tracking, no search history.
Yeah. The thing you got to watch out for is a lot of these free VPNs, and I honestly don't know. I'm not saying Startpage is. I don't know with Startpage, right? I haven't looked into them in a long time. They're doing the same data collection as everybody else, but they're getting first crack at it because you're forcing your data through their VPN, right? So, you know, yeah, it might let you get around a regional block if you use one of the free VPNs, but it's probably slurping up more information that's probably worse, especially if it's a phone app. It's probably worse for your privacy than just giving Pornhub your fucking driver's license, right? at least Pornhub is paying some third-party service that's nominally going to try to do it right. But
I mean, at least Pornhub's offering a service.
Yeah. So, you know, the free VPN apps I would definitely stay away from. If you're not paying for the VPN, you're probably right in that it's probably worse than, you know, of course, then if you're paying for it, well, you're probably old enough to go to the porn site anyways. But
right?
That's a good point, Madman. But I guess we'll do the CNN follow-up story, which is just a little, you know, complete reference. Actually, I don't know that I need to do the CNN because I think the other story mentioned it too. Pornhub's trying to block access in Utah. So they're just going to say, okay, well, Utah's passing a dumb law. We're going to block access in Utah. Yeah, it's like until a real solution. Okay, I'll do the CNN story real quick just because they've got some quotes in there. Get the URL posted. There it is. Some of the internet's biggest adult websites, including Pornhub, are now blocking access to Utah users over a new age verification law that takes effect on Wednesday. Pornhub and other adult sites controlled by its parent MindGeek began blocking visitors with Utah-based IP addresses this week. Now, instead of seeing adult content when visiting those sites, affected users are shown a message expressing opposition to SB 287, the Utah law signed by Governor Spencer Cox in March that creates liability for porn sites that make their content available to people below the age of 18. Quote, as you may know, your elected officials in Utah are requiring us to verify your age before allowing you to access our website. Unquote, the message said, quote, while safety and compliance are the forefront of our mission, giving your ID card every time you want to visit an adult platform is not the most effective solution for protecting our users, and in fact will put children and privacy at risk, unquote. The statement, accompanied by a video of an adult actor reading the state message on camera, okay, added that age verification requirements could drive users to sites with far fewer safety measures, and it called for policymakers to identify users by their device rather than requiring them to upload their photo ID. Quote, until a real solution is offered, we have made the difficult decision to completely disable access to our website in Utah, the message said, concluding with a call for Utahans to, quote, demand device-based verification solutions, unquote, from policymakers. Pornhub declined to comment on its actions in Utah beyond the message it posted to users in the state, and also declined to address the likelihood of attempts to circumvent the IP address filtering. So, yeah, of course they're not going to acknowledge that, because if Utah is trying to put the liability on them, if they even acknowledge VPNs exist, that's not going to help them with the eventual lawsuit, right?
Yeah.
So.
And I love that. By attempting to have you verify the age, you're actually going to up the amount of children seeing porn. I would like to see stats on that or a coherent argument on how that happens.
I guess the idea is that you're going to drive users to sketchier websites that don't do the check. But, I mean,
yeah, they're saying they don't want to do the check. They're saying they're the sketchier website.
I'm not 100% on the logic of that one either. I mean, although, I mean, it's the same problem that you've always had on the internet, right? What's to prevent them from going and getting their mom's purse or their dad's wallet and punching in the stuff anyways, right? I mean, app makers have been practically begging kids to do that for, you know, in-game purchases for a decade now.
I mean, good parental supervision goes a long way to start.
And there's the right answer. That is, I mean, all these technical controls, all
sorry,
these
I don't mean
laws,
to Captain Obvious.
Yeah, you know, it's like, or just maybe watch your kids.
Yeah, I can see not giving your kid a smartphone. I don't think they need them.
Well, I mean, it's like we were just talking about my car. Every couple of months, it pops up and says, "Oh, you've disabled the message to check for occupants in your back seat. Do you want to re-enable it?" And I have to hit no, because or you explained it to me. Because I was like, "Why the fuck is the car telling me to look for people who might have gotten into my car?" I usually know if people are in my car because I usually let them in it. It's like. Really? And Artie's like, oh no, stoners are forgetting that they have kids in the car, so that they have to put warnings in so that people think the government is doing something. Or you said something to that effect.
Well, it's. I mean, you lock a kid in the car here, they're dead in 7 minutes. Okay, the temperature climbs real quick. We've had quite a few kids die in the back of cars because people forgot about them.
Well, that's horrifying.
Yeah, it's. Nature of living in this country, you gotta be careful, but
I'm just thinking, it happens. How do you forget about your kid? I mean, I'm not a full-time parent, so the few times I have children, I'm like, I'm gonna bring you back in as good a condition as you were entrusted in. Possibly higher on caffeine and sugar, but you know.
And with a free puppy.
No extra holes, no markings that won't go away in a week or two.
Unattended children will be given a shot of espresso, a puppy, and a pack of Sharpies. Good luck.
that's why that's there, man. Fucking people get high, forget they got kids in the car.
Repeat offenders will be given a drum set. But
I don't know. I like the idea of it's to prevent serial killers from sneaking up.
Just occasionally reminding you to look.
But are you about to be garroted in the car?
I mean, life would certainly be more exciting with more, you know, attempted garrotings in everyone's lives.
Hey, move to New York, Morps. You'll be fine. I hear south side of Chicago as well. You're looking for excitement.
Well, there's a reason they say, may you live in interesting times is a curse.
So, you know, you could always slap a Trump for President bumper sticker and go for a drive somewhere.
Actually, around here, you'd be fine. Portland. I see those all over the place.
I mean, downtown Portland, you'd
well,
be fine.
Yeah, you'd probably get firebombed doing that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a story. So...
You'd always wear a sandwich board in Harlem.
Here, wear this ghost costume and go run through Harlem. Let us know how that goes for you. So, family vacation... You know, several of us went on a trip. When was this? 2017? And a couple of people in the family brought their Trump hats with them. And they were about to go into a little tourist trap in Mexico wearing a Trump hat. And the tour guides were like, sir, you have to take the hat off. And he's like, no, I'm not taking the hat off. And he was like, no, sir, you don't understand. It's you will be attacked for wearing that down here. It's like, we don't care about your politics. Our job is to keep you, you know, from getting killed. Yeah. So please.
Yeah, if you die, someone's going to give us a bad Yelp review. You're taking the hat off.
Well, it was great, but we lost two. Airhold in a small market for wearing a red hat. No, the hat didn't have anything on it. It was just red.
The same guy in my family. We were walking down some streets, and one of the homeless guys was ranting at nobody. and was, you know, so he just yelled at him, "God bless Donald Trump." And the guy about had an aneurysm. Fucking hilarious. He was doing it to screw with him. He had nothing. It wasn't about politics. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm trying to outbraze someone." I'm like,
"Yeah, it sounds like I need to have a drink with this guy."
You've said that before, are you? Anyways, let's move on. This one's from The Verge. Microsoft is forcing Outlook and Teams to open links in Edge, because of course they are.
Yeah.
Microsoft Edge. Okay, go ahead.
But what if I don't have Edge open? I don't know.
The open Edge for you.
Nice that it does that.
Yeah, I've noticed that. Oh my God, they're real.
Yeah, I told you, dude. I'm just trying to find a good story.
This is the first photographic evidence I've ever seen of Asians. Are you? I mean, I didn't know they were a thing. Yeah.
I know. I'm trying to find a good story for next week about these mind halos.
Oh my God. Okay. Bad joke. It's like, you've met Asians. No, I haven't. I've met Vietnamese people. They're not Asian. They're Vietnamese. Yeah, here we go. Back to the article. Trying to make goofy racist jokes and it's not working. Microsoft Edge is a good browser, but for some reason Microsoft keeps trying to shove it down everyone's throat and make it more difficult to use rivals like Chrome or Firefox. Microsoft has now started notifying IT admins that it will force Outlook and Teams to ignore the default web browser on Windows and open links in Edge instead. Reddit users have posted messages from the Microsoft 365 Admin Center that reveal how Microsoft is going to roll out this change. Quote, "Web links from Azure Active Directory accounts and Microsoft accounts in the Outlook for Windows app will open in Microsoft Edge in a single view showing the open link side by side with the email it came from." Unquote. Reads a message to IT admins. In other words, you're not going to be able to change it. If you're using Outlook for email, which if you're working for corporations that's using Office 365, you're using Outlook for email, you will use Edge, period, full stop, because Microsoft has deemed it so. Now bend over and ask for another.
I won't. I'll have to copy and paste the link rather than clicking on it, because there are some programs that for some fucking reason don't work in Edge. I don't know the reason. I don't care. I didn't program the damn thing. I was just told it works in Google. It works in Chrome. Use that.
The gag of it is Edge is Chrome. They're building Edge off Chromium. So you would think it would work in Edge, but Microsoft has layered so much of their own shit on top of it. While this won't affect the default browser settings in Windows yet, it's yet another part of Microsoft 365 and Windows that totally ignores your default browser choice for links. Microsoft already does this with widgets in Windows 11 and the Start menu, by the way. You ever accidentally click like the help thing or trying to search for... I have the Start menu search do this to me all the time on Windows 10, where you type in part of a program name, it shows you the program. It's like, okay, I found it. You press enter, and instead of opening the program, it pops up Edge with a Bing search for, you know, whatever, however far you had gotten in the program name. It's just like, wow, fuck you, Microsoft. And I know what it
That's
is.
Why
they're trying to force users onto their sites.
Why don't you use that?
Yeah, and I've been told I need to, you know, install everything and Start is back, or whatever the modern equivalent of Start is back is. So... at this point, I just need to get a Linux distro working on this laptop and call it done. Because I still haven't found one that plays nice with the graphics hardware on this. Which is unfortunate. I think it might just be a kernel driver thing, so give it another year and I'm sure there will be one. It'll open it'll open it in Edge, even if you click, you know, you have the default link set to another browser. IT app admins aren't happy with many complaining in various threads on Reddit, spotted by Neowin. If Outlook wasn't enough, Microsoft says, quote, "a similar experience will arrive in Teams," unquote, soon with web links from chats opening in Edge side by side with Teams chats. Microsoft seems to be rolling this out gradually across 365 users, and IT admins get 30 days notice before it rolls out to Outlook. It's an Aurorus. It's Alhazard. It's an Aurorus P something. It's got an i7 3080. It's the Intel. It does the whole Intel and NVIDIA, you know, trying to pick and choose based on usage of the program. And for some reason, external monitors don't seem to play nice in most of the Linux distros I've tried with it. Like, the panel is fine. That works. But, or in what's the driver? Opus for switching back and forth? That seems to work. But trying to hook up to external monitors, whether it's over the Thunderbolt port or over the direct HDMI, or micro HDMI or whatever the... Oh, that's a micro display port and a regular HDMI. Both those seem to fuck up on distros. I don't know what's going on with them. Either they don't refresh correctly, or it won't detect the resolution correctly, or just flat out won't work. I've had that happen with an ultra wide screen, which works fine in Windows, so I know it's a driver problem. Have I tried OpenBSD? No, I have not tried OpenBSD. Not on the direct hardware. I've ran in virtual machines, of course, but not on this. Now, NetBSD, I ran several copies of that on things, but again, not as an end user thing, more of an appliance. Back to the article here. MateBook X, of all things, when Linux didn't. Which SKU of OpenBSD? Was there a distro you used, like Dragonfly or something? Well, anyways, Microsoft 365 Enterprise IT admins will be able to alter the policy, but those on 365 for Business will have to manage this change on individual machines. So, Madman, I'm betting your company's on Enterprise, because I know mine is, and I think your company's bigger than mine. So, they'll be able to fix it on yours, but, yeah, so in other words, unless you're not paying Microsoft the maximum amount of money, you have to use Edge. Yeah, you have to manage to change on individual machines.
So I've got a huge company, big whatever. They won't be screwed. What about all the mom and pop businesses running specialized software? Or, well, this issue isn't really much with software as it is.
They get to bend over and ask for another.
Okay, yeah, I guess that is the response. Yeah.
Fuck. That's going to leave a lot of small businesses with the unnecessary headache of working out what's changed. Imagine being less tech-savvy, clicking a link in Outlook, and thinking you've lost all your favorites because it didn't open it in the right browser. The author asked Microsoft to comment on the changes. Quote, "This change is designed to create an easier way for Outlooks and Teams users to reduce task switching across windows and tabs to help stay focused," unquote, says Caddy Asher, Senior Director of Communications at Microsoft, in a statement to The Verge. Quote, "By opening browser links in Microsoft Edge, the original message in Outlook or Teams can also be viewed alongside web content to easily access and read and respond to the message using the matching authenticated profile. Customers have the option to disable this feature in settings," unquote. BSDs aren't distros. There are BSD distros. Yeah, I know there's different versions of BSD, like Net and Open and Free, but there are distros of some of the different BSDs, Alhazard. Like Dragonfly was one. I'm blanking on some of the others, but there were different distros for some of them. Well, distro might be a strong word. I guess pre-installed package sets, but whatever. Yeah, GhostBSD, that was one. But, yeah, literally they're saying, oh, we're doing this to make it easier for you. Completely forgetting that Windows is a windowing operating system, and if I need the email that I had the link from up open, I can hold the start button down and hit the right arrow on the email window, and then select my Chrome tab or Firefox or whatever, hold the start button down on the keyboard, and hit the right arrow, and now I've got the email and the browser right next to each other without having to do any of your other stupid Microsoft Edge bullshit. Because that's the whole fucking point of a windowing operating system.
Isn't that kind of how it got its name?
Yes! I understand that Microsoft has strong envy of Apple and Google for their integrated environments and getting to keep people contained in these things, in Chromebooks and phones and shit. But they're missing the whole point of why to use a computer in the first place. If you turn the computer into a giant worse tablet, most people will just move to fucking iPads. I've used Surface Books or Surface computers. You know, they're fine, but that's because you hook them up to a dock and use them like a regular fucking computer, not an iPad. If you want people to think of the thing as a tablet, they're going to go buy iPads. You know why? Because Apple got the interface right. They did better than you on the tablet. Now, Mac OS is... I'm finding more and more things I don't like about it. But at least on the fucking tablet, they got the interface right, you know? There's other problems with it, being the whole closed-off, you know, ecosystem, and I'm running into some problems with that with some of my other hobbies, but that's not the point. Ham radio with an iPad is not the best way to go. If you're doing ham radio, get an Android. Better apps on the Android for that. But if you want to do audio work, the iPad's better, so, yeah, pick one. Yeah, the notification to IT admins comes just weeks after Microsoft promised significant changes to the way Windows manages which apps open certain files or links by default. At the time, Microsoft said it believed, quote, "We have responsibility to ensure user choices are respected," unquote. And that's why it's, quote, "important that we lead by example with our own first-party Microsoft products," unquote. Forcing people into Edge and ignoring default browsers is anything but respecting user choice, and it's gross that Microsoft continues to abuse this. Microsoft tested a similar change to the default Windows 10 Mail app in 2018 in an attempt to force people into Edge for email links. That never came to pass thanks to backlash from Windows 10 testers. Similar change in 2020 saw Microsoft try to force Chrome's default search engine to Bing using the Office 365 installer, and IT admins weren't happy then either. Windows 11 also launched with a messy and cumbersome process to set default apps, which was a step back from Windows 10 and drew concern from competing browser makers like Mozilla, Opera, and Vivaldi. A Windows 11 update has improved the process, but it's clear Microsoft is still interested in finding ways to circumvent default browser choices. They've already been using aggressive prompts to stop you from using Chrome and even adding a giant Bing button to Edge in an effort to push people to use its search engine. Microsoft has also faced criticism over adding buy now, pay later financing options to Edge. We talked about that. It keeps going. So, again, I would just be planning migrating off Windows on your home machines. I know work machines are going to be on it forever, because it's really hard to beat Active Directory when you need to, you know, meet regulations. I mean, you can do it. You can do it on anything. It's just how much effort is it? And most auditors are looking for Active Directory group policies and things like that. So if you hand them a bunch of scripts that do your Linux settings, they're going to look at you cross-eyed and say, where's the screenshot of your Windows update on running on your Linux boxes? So, no, that didn't happen to me. I'm not still bitter. Why? You guys have anything on that?
No, I'm good.
My complaint was pretty much the one I already said. And I hate that you're right. The answer is you're just fucked.
Well, apparently you can fix it, but you got to do it on a machine-by-machine basis. So it's one of those things where it's like, if you have 5 computers, you might be able to manage it. If you have 1 million computers, you can manage it because they give it to you as an option for having the right version of Microsoft or, you know, the expensive licenses. But if you have, say, 100 computers, good fucking luck. So, anyways, let's do this. Yo! What I have for you tonight in Digital Dojo is pretty cool looking. It's called Spider Suite. It's a GUI-based website indexing and spidering tool that basically you turn the thing loose on a website and it'll spider it and then gives you a ton of different views into the pages, the links, mapping, and Yeah, it looks like a fairly nice little project. Still looks fairly new. I think it's they just did their version 1.0 release today. How old's this thing? I think the have they even done an initial release before this? No. But they do have, plenty of builds for that, so this is like version one of the thing. But it's a nice concept. I like it. Looks like a great way of picking apart a website if that's something you're into. Or, even better, you can trying to figure out hidden parts of websites that probably shouldn't be exposed. Or, just again, mapping every resource on a website has its own purposes and uses. But anyways, yeah, it's a neat looking little tool, worth playing with. That's all I have for tonight. Of course, listen to the show. We're always working on it. Pure Decking every Thursday night. Galaxy 15 radio site and subreddit in the IRC tonight. Alhazard, CyberLard, Psychros, Madman, myself, and Sardonyx. Madman, closing thoughts.
Think Windows will ever go back to remake an operating system for a PC? Let's see if we can optimize what we do different than Google and
No.
Apple.
No, it will not. Because Microsoft doesn't make their money on selling software anymore. They don't make any money on the Windows license on your machine. Well, they might make a couple of bucks on it, but it's not significant money for them anymore. Most of their money they're making off Office 365. Or Microsoft 365 now, because that's replaced Active Directory, that's replaced Exchange, that's replaced a bunch of the server infrastructure, it's replaced a lot of hosting with things like SharePoint. So, and now they're bundling Teams with it, so that's replaced Skype or Link or WebEx. Is Slack, all your normal communication channels. So that's where they're making their money is off these hosting platforms, and they're trying to increase the amount of money they make off things like Bing and their advertising, their data brokering services. So I don't see Windows ever returning to being a user-focused, just here's a way to operate your computer. I mean, arguably Windows XP was probably the peak of that. You could argue Windows 7. Windows 8 certainly wasn't, but that was more because they were trying to compete with iPads on the interface. They hadn't quite gotten as nuts with it as they got with the later SKUs of Windows. Simply because they're just trying to yank in as much user data as they can, and they're trying to, Windows 11 is. We did the article last week about how now they're throwing ads in the start menu, trying to force you to use or trying to get you to use their services. Hell, anybody who's set up a Windows 11 computer lately, if you're not careful going through the wizards, it'll lock you into OneDrive. Like it will, my dad's computer he bought last year came with Windows 11 on it, and after he set it up, of course I wasn't there, so I don't know what all he clicked. When we started restoring the backup from his old computer, it stopped after 5 gigs and would not let us copy data to his hard drive, which had plenty of free space, because it was popping up and saying, "Your OneDrive is full." Because it, signed him up for a free trial of OneDrive because he set up a Microsoft account. And once that 5 gigs was full, it wasn't about to let him write anything else to that user profile because his OneDrive was full. So we had to go through and work on that, and I had to disable OneDrive and try to get it off of his system. And he said a few days later he was getting problems with it again, to the point that he has some programs, Quicken being the big one. He is storing his Quicken, and the Quicken tech support people told him to do this, by the way. He's storing his Quicken data in his downloads directory because OneDrive fucks with it.
Him.
And even though I disabled all of it, yeah, he said up the last update turned it all back on.
That's the problem.
So yeah, Windows is not user-centric anymore. It's very much a trying to force you into their services. And that's where they make their real money these days. Because you think about it. You know, you buy a laptop from Dell or HP or whoever, right? Asus. Microsoft, yeah, sure, there's a Microsoft license in there for the Windows that it comes with, but Microsoft is probably only getting $5 or $10 for that Windows license. I mean, sure, you go into the store, the Microsoft store, and try to buy a copy of Windows, it's a couple hundred bucks, right? Or at least the professional versions. But that's not what the OEMs are paying for a Windows license. They're paying $5 or $10 because they're buying them in bulk. And so that's what Microsoft is selling. And, you know, what's the alternative right now for mass production PCs? You know, you'd say Linux is an alternative, but bullshit. Seriously. If Dell dropped Windows tomorrow and said, "Pete, you know, here's your, you know, we're not doing Windows anymore. They're all going to come with Ubuntu." I mean, sure, you or I might think it's great, but I mean, they'd be out of business because people just wouldn't buy them because they don't know how to use them.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, you know, you need to learn. You need to learn Linux. Well, okay, that would be like, are you telling me that I need to learn how to do proper mechanics on my car the next time I complain about my car doing something I don't like?
Get good, faggot.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is. And how well does that work in anything?
Doesn't. It takes time, man. It takes lots of time.
So, you know, most people just want to be able to turn it on, play Fortnite, load their Facebook, look at Pornhub for whatever it is you do looking at Pornhub. We'll just leave that where that is. And, you know, go about their life. They don't want to have to learn how to use a new system. They don't want to have to think about it. And Microsoft is certainly taking advantage of the fact that most people don't want to think about it. And what's the easier thing to do? Dig through hundreds of menus and repeatedly turn all these settings off and jump through hoops and literally doing timing exercises with turning your router off so that you can get a local account on your Windows machine rather than setting up a Microsoft account, and then dealing with the thing trying to automatically force you back into a Microsoft account after every other update. Because I still occasionally get that finish setting up your PC screen sometimes when I turn it on, and it's the first thing
I get
doing is trying to get you in that Microsoft account.
Yep. They'll let big blue box there fuck itself.
But think about it. How many people, instead of dealing with all that, will just say, fine, I guess I have to do it this way, set up the Microsoft account just to make the pop-up stop, just to make it so they can go do what they want?
Most of them.
Right? And Microsoft's taking advantage of that, and they know it. But no, it'll never be user-centric again, because that's not their revenue stream. They have no reason to do that. Their shareholders would rightly fire their board if they tried, because they won't make as much money. I think SteamOS might provide a viable alternative to Windows. If Valve ever gets around to doing official releases of it, the unofficial releases people have built of it, when I've played with it on some other machines, work pretty good. Of course, not on my main laptop, but that's, you know, because it's, again, got the wrong hardware in it. But the license was up a month ago, so probably a month ago. Alhazard, I don't know what you're talking about with the license being up a month ago. I'm sure I said something and it's just gone. But anyways, we closed out the show a while ago and then I started talking again. did you have any closing thoughts?
No, I'm good. All right. I'm good for this week.
The thing from Dojo? Spider Suite? The license was up a month ago for Spider Suite? This is open source. Why would it not be? It's GPL V3.
We play the closing music yet?
Yes, I'll play the closing music.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
Na 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 sard.